The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Mishpotim. Ve'ele ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem. These are the laws which you shall place before them. The word mishpatim refers to laws, and in particular, in this parsha, it refers to dinim, laws which pertain to the affairs of men, dealings between man and his fellow man, particular financial dealings, monetary laws, laws of business and so forth. These are the laws which protect one man from another in regards to his material acquisitions, in regards to his kinyonim, which the Torah tells us what belongs to you and what belongs to someone else, and you're not allowed to take something, or you're not allowed to damage or infringe on material possessions or material interests which belong to your fellow man. Generally, people think that the study of these laws, the practice of these laws, are particularly relevant to either business people or to dayonim, to judges. But it's something which laymen does not have much relevance to. Secondly, people think that this is something which is necessary, but not necessarily from the portions of the Torah which deal with lofty concepts, which deal with kedusha, sanctity, like other mitzvahs in the Torah. Mitzvahs, perhaps, which deal between man and his maker. Now, both of these are false, both of these concepts. It's true that someone who's in business is going to come into contact more with these laws than other people. And it's true that dayonim, judges, certainly have to be experts in all of these laws. But everyone must know these laws and they must study these laws, because it's relevant to all people. For example, the Torah starts with how one must treat a slave. That's not relevant to us today. We don't have slaves. But during the time when people did, everyone had to know what rights did a slave have and what responsibilities did he have towards him. Or, for example, the Torah speaks of inflicting injury on your fellow man. Or, if you own property and it causes damage to other people, you own an animal, you own a dog, or a fire goes out of control, the laws of theft are brought here. What responsibilities does a person have when he's caring for, he's either caring or he's using other people's possessions? This is something which is relevant to all Jews. If you're using a book from the library, or you're using a book or a sefer that belongs to someone else, or you're using a sefer or a talis from a shul, or if you're using a building, the laws of loans are spoken about here, and so forth. So these are laws which are relevant to all people, and all people must know about them. These are laws which cover a very great facet of the Torah and the Talmud, and all Jews are instructed to study them. And as we'll see, these are laws that by no means take a back seat, a second place, to the other chelkei ha-mitzvahs, to the other portions of mitzvahs in the Torah. To the contrary, we find that perhaps the highest aspect of sanctity in the Torah is regards mishpatim. For example, in Sefer Dvorim. Sefer Dvorim, where we are instructed to appoint judges, Meshe was instructed to appoint the judges, in Devarim Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, You shall not recognize any man. No man should get special recognition in regards to the law, but you must judge equally the small man and the great man. You must listen to them equally. You shall fear no man in the eyes of the law. Because mishpat, judgments, justice, this belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki HaMishpat LeElokim, it belongs to the Almighty. Here the Torah tells us that these mishpatim are not something which are at a mundane level or even at a human level, but they belong to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when the judges execute this law, they must not give special recognition to any man, nor they must not fear any man, but execute the law in its perfection. Ki HaMishpat LeElokim Hu, because law and justice belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's elaborate on this, and we'll bring several sources and examples to illustrate these principles. In the last parsha, Parshas Yisro, the parsha ended by saying, "V'mizbach avonim ta'aseli le'sivne asen gozis." But when you will build for me an altar of stone, you shall not make it of cut stone. Ki charbecho hinafto leo vat chalaleho, because if you will cut it with steel, you will profane it. The altar, the mizbeach, belonged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was made to bring peace into the world, and therefore a steel which was made to bring injury into the world should not be used on it. You shall not make steps going up to the Mizbeach. The altar was very high. And you shall not make steps going up to the altar, but rather an incline. In order that the Kohen, when he walked up to the altar, he did not have to take large steps. If there were steps built in, then he would have to take large steps. If there's an incline, he can take normal steps. And in order that he should not have to take large steps, in this way, it would be considered a disgrace for the stones, because he's taking large steps over the stones, and Sigole Arvoskolov, he reveals his nakedness. So therefore the Torah says, you shall not make steps. Then the next posuk in our sedra is Ve'ela Mishpotim Asher Tosim Lifneihem. These are the laws which you shall place before Klal Yisrael. The Gemara brings in Sanhedrin Dav Zayin Amud Beis Loma Nismecho. Parshas HaMizbeach, the Parshas HaDinim. Why do we find that the Torah writes about the altar and about this particular din, and right after that, it tells us about the Parsha of the Mishpotim of the dinim? So the Gemara says, Doresh bar Kapora Manoha Milsud Amar Abonin Hevi Mesuni Medin. Our sages have taught that one should be mesunim bedin when he comes to render a legal decision in the din in regards to monetary laws. He must act very slowly with great deliberation, and only after he sufficiently and very thoroughly has studied all of the issues. Heavy mesunim bedin. From where do we know this? Diksiv v'leisale b'maleis v'somech le v'eila mishpotim asher tosim. Torah writes that when you go to the altar, you should not go up with great steps. You should walk slowly with small steps. Then it tells us v'eila hamishpotim, and these are the laws. From here we learn that when you go to the mishpot, when you approach the understanding of this law, also it must be with small steps. It must not be with a psia gasa, with a large step. You must not jump towards it. And from here we learn Hevi Mesuni Medin. Hevi Mesuni Medin is in the first Mishnah of Masechta Ovis. The Masechta first tells us that Moshe received the Torah from Sinai and he gave it to Yeshua, and it tells us how it was given down from generation to generation. It came into the hands of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the people of the Great Assembly. Hey, Mamru Shleish Dvorim. They instructed us on three principles. The first principle they instructed us was Hevi Mesuni Medin, that you should be patient when you approach the Mishpat, the judgment. They spoke of three things. Hevi Mesuni Medin, Vahamidu Talmidim Harbe. You should bring up many disciples in Torah, Vahasu Siogla Torah, and you should make safeguards around the Torah. Now, what were they instructing Israel with? We had the Torah now. It was handed down from generation to generation. Now they were instructing Israel how to guard the Torah. How to guard the Torah that it should not become lost. So they said, firstly, you should be very patient when you come to the deen, to these types of laws. Because if you're not, then you will distort them. You will distort mishpat, you will distort justice. And then they went on, should bring up many Talmidim, many disciples. This is a tremendous safeguard for Torah. And as for Sigla Torah, you should make safeguards, fences around the mitzvahs. So we see that the first thing they instructed us was with Hevi Mesuni Medin. Why is this so important? And what does this have to do with V'leisale Amaleis, that you shouldn't walk up steps on the Mizbeach, on the altar? The Maral explains in Ovis and in the Siva Adin and the Siva Seilah. The Mizbeach, the altar, was a place of extreme Kedusha, of great sanctity. It was in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. It was in a very particular place in the world. It's brought, the Gemara brings, and the Rambam brings, that we must be very careful where we place the altar, because it was in this same place that Abraham brought Yitzchok for a sacrifice, and it was in this same place that Noach made sacrifices when he came out of the Teva, out of the Ark, and it was in this place that Adam HaRishon, the first man, made sacrifices. So it's a place of extreme importance and extreme sanctity, and it's called Mizbach Hashem, the altar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Naturally, when someone approaches this altar, he has to approach with great care. He has to approach with great caution. Therefore, the Torah commanded, do not make steps to the altar, because then you have to take great steps. And when you go up to Kedusha, you have to go slowly, little by little. Otherwise, you'll never get there. Very important principle. It's a principle the Vilna Gaon always writes. Malim b'Kedusha. You want to go up to Kedusha, you go little by little, one step at a time. Al tikpatsu. Don't jump. So therefore, when the Kohen was elevating himself to the level of the Mizbeach, which belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah said, do not make steps, because he'll have to take a psia gasa, large steps, make an incline, and then he'll take little steps, little by little, and then he'll get there. Immediately after, states, Ve'elam Mishpatim, Asher Tosim Lifneihem, these are the laws. These are the dinim, the monetary laws, which you shall place before them, to teach us that the same principle applies here also. You want to come to the depth of the mishpat, also you have to approach very slowly. Because just like the mizbeach is Lashem, it also states HaMishpat Lelakim Hu. Justice, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moreb Zochim brings that the depth of the law has become Nelam, become concealed from man, it's so deep. So deep is his justice that if we want to bring ourselves near to it. Heavy mesunim b'din. You must go slowly. Just like you cannot reach the Mizbeach in one jump, because a man is physical, and the altar represented something which was spiritual. So you cannot reach the depth of the Mishpat in one jump, because a man is physical, and the Mishpat belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is something which is totally sichli. That belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the depths of the Torah, which is beyond the person. Therefore, how will he reach it? With great deliberation, with great study, with great iyun, with great thought, and slowly, heavy mesunim b'din. Therefore, the Rishonim say that when a shaila comes to the judges, they're not allowed to paskin immediately. Even if it's the identical case which they had many times before. When it's in monetary laws, they can't say, we have had this before. We know the halacha, no? Not allowed to. They have to deliberate. They have to wait. They have to sleep on it. And this way, slowly, a man comes to the level of the Mishpat. Otherwise, he brings the Mishpat down to his level. If he'll do that, then he'll be Mekalkel Es Adin, he'll distort justice. Therefore, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola instructed, how can one safeguard the Torah? By heavy mesunim b'din. And this we learn from the Smichus HaParshois, because these two are written right next to each other. And the Maral writes, he says, accordingly, just like you're not allowed to have an Am HaOretz, an ignorant person, as a dayon, as a judge, he says, accordingly, he holds, therefore, you're not allowed to have a balgaiva, a haughty person, as a judge. Because a haughty person, an arrogant person, is someone who immediately wants to answer. Right? The question is asked, he answers immediately. He goes with the approach that someone that's not so clever, he has to study the issues. But I know immediately. And arrogance is contrary to chokhmah, to wisdom. Arrogance is contrary to the depth of the deen, and he'll never come there. He says, from here we can learn that you're not allowed to have a dayan, a judge, who's arrogant. Then the Gemara makes another drosha. It's a mechilta, Rashi brings it. Another reason why the parsha of the Mizbeach is written next to the parsha of the Mishpatim. Lei maloch to teach you. Shetosim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach. That the place of the Sanhedrin should be near the place of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was in the Beis HaMikdosh. So from here we learn the Sanhedrin HaGdola, the Supreme Court, which held the ultimate responsibility for the Mishpatim. They also were on the complex of the Beis HaMikdosh. They were in a section which was known as Lishkas HaGozis, on the complex of the Beis HaMikdosh. What's the Sanhedrin doing there? We learn from here. Because the Torah writes about the Mizbeach, and immediately after about Mishpatim, to teach us, Shetosim HaSanhedrin B'mokam HaMizbeach. Now from here, we see the great Kedusha, the great sanctity, that is found by Mishpatim. We all know the Beis HaMikdash was the most sanctified place in the world. It says, Yushalayim is Kodesh Mishar Kol HaYores, Eretz Yisrael Kodesh Mishar Kol HaRotzes, Eretz Yisrael is the most Kodesh of all of the lands. Yushalayim is the most Kodesh of all of the cities. Beis HaMikdash is more Kodesh than any other place. So when it came to Kedusha, to sanctity, this was the main Kedusha of the world. And the Torah said the Sanhedrin must also be there. From here we see that we're not dealing with laws which are at a mundane, everyday level. We see that we are dealing with laws that occupy the most holy places in the world. Actually, the Maral explains that the Beis Hamikdash and the Mizbeach was in the center of the world. Chazal tell us that Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim is the center of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu made the world, he made Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim in the center. And this is where the Mizbeach was. And this is like, it's compared to the navel of a person. The navel of a person is the center of the person. What's so important about the navel of the person? Because this is where his creation began. He was joined to his mother through his navel. This world is joined to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Yaakov had a dream, and he was sleeping in the place of the Beis HaMikdosh, he saw a ladder. And he saw angels, malochim, going up and down. And he said, Ein zeh kim beis elokim v'zeh shar ha-shamayim. This is the house of Hashem, and this is the gateways to heaven. The sages interpret, what did he mean? Beis HaMikdosh shel malo mechuven l'beis HaMikdosh shel mato. That the gateway that joins this world with the next world was right at this place. And just like there's a Beis HaMikdosh here, there's a Beis HaMikdosh in the heavens also. And they join at this place. And that was the ladder that he saw going up and the angels going up and down. Zu Shari Shemaim, this is the gates to heaven. And why is this? Because the source of this world is where it's connected to the upper worlds. And that's in the center of the world, and that's the place of the Beis HaMikdosh. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the altar to be there, because this is where the sacrifices went up from this world into the next world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw also that it was necessary to have the Sanhedrin there. Because the sources of this world comes from the justice and the judgment which belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Shetosim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach. That the great court should be next to the Mizbeach. Another drosho that is made here that Rashi brings, Ve'eleha Mishpotim, does not say Eleha Mishpotim, these are the laws, but Ve'eleha Mishpotim, and these are the laws. So it's a continuation of the previous parshas. So Rashi says, Ve'ele bo lehesif. It comes as a continuation, as an addition. Al Rishonim, Ma Rishonim Misinai, Afele Misinai. Just like the previous laws were Mishinai, what were the previous laws? They were the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. So are these also Mishinai? All of these also are. What is Rashi coming to tell us? I might think that Torah has to do with the laws, the dealings between man and the Almighty. Anechi Hashem Elokecha, there is one God. You shall not make gods of others, and so forth. Those were given from Sinai. But laws that merely govern the affairs of men, I would say these are not Kodesh, these are not sanctified. These are necessary for the civilization, for society, for the smooth running of society. But these are not Torah Dikat Dinim, laws of the Torah. Laws that came off of Sinai. Therefore, this parsha tells us now, Ve'ele ha-mishpotim. And these are the mishpotim. It's a continuation of the previous parsha. My elu mi-Sinai, af elu mi-Sinai. Just like all of the others came from Sinai, these also came from Sinai. But you should not think that there's any distinction between them at their level, at their height. We've spoken on this point at length in other shurim. But in regards to what we're speaking tonight, this drosha also is very important. In last week's parsha, in Parshas Yisro, we are now bringing from the end of the parsha, but at the beginning of the parsha, we also have a discussion of dinim. When Yisro came to the camp of Moshe in the Midbar, in the desert, Vayhi Mimachoros, and it was on the next day, the Chazal Darshan, this was the day after Yom Kippur, the day after that the first Luchais were given, and the second Luchais were given, after the giving of the Torah. Vayeshiv Meshe Lishperes Om, and Meshe sat to judge the people. Vayamir Om Al Meshe Min Haboker Ado Oref, and Meshe and the nation stood over Meshe from the morning until the evening. The Gemara in Shabbos brings. Rashi brings this also. Gemara in Shabbos brings in Daf Yud. What was Moshe doing? Nation came and they were standing by Moshe from morning until evening. What was he doing? So, like Moshe told Yisro, he was judging the people. States by Yarches and Mishpat, they call Asher who is alone. Yisro saw what Moshe was doing, and he says, "Ma'ad over Azir, what is all of this?" So Moshe said, "Ki yove Eli Om Lidrish Alekim, the nation comes to seek out Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ki yelehem dover bo Eli v'shofarati bein Ishu bein Rehu, when there is a dispute between people, there's some type of monetary dispute." So they come to me, and I judge between man and his fellow man. And I let them know what the laws of the Torah are. So the Gemara asked, is it possible? Is it possible that Moshe would be from morning till evening judging the people? When did he study Torah? If all day he was judging the people, so when would he study Torah? Everyone has to study Torah, even Moshe. And Dayan even more so, a judge. We just learned to have him a Sunim Bedin. He has to study the issues very, very carefully. So if he was sitting with the nation the whole day judging, when did he study Torah? So the Gemara says, Elalei Maloch. It wasn't the whole day. It was a portion of the day. Moshe had hours, a portion of the day, he would be available for litigations. So, but why does it say then, from the morning till night? Leimaloch to tell you, kol dain shudon dinemes lamitoi. Every judge that will judge a judgment, that will give a judgment, which is emes lamitoi. Emes lamitoi means, which is, emes means true. Lamitoi, that's a double expression. It's true, and it's completely true. Afilu shohachas, even 1 hour, emala lo vakosev ki lenase shutev lakodesh baruch hu b'maisa b'rishis. Even for 1 hour, if he'll do this, then he's considered a partner with the Almighty in the creation of the world. How do we know this? Ksivocha v'yameir om al meishu min habeik ar-orev, because here it states that Moshe was sitting to judge the people from morning till night. And over there it's written, the same term is used by the creation of the world. And it was evening and it was morning one day. It was evening and morning the second day. So we see here, the Gemara Darshans, a link between this case and the creation of the world. From here we learn that every judge, that renders a decision which is true and pure, he becomes a shutef, a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. So Moshe was not judging the entire day, he was judging a part of the day. But the Torah considers as if he was judging the entire day. Rashi brings another Gemara. Rashi brings another Gemara that states that a judge that renders one decision which is true and pure, it's kilo esik b'teira kolayim. It's as if he was studying Torah the entire day. Now, what is the meaning of this? The meaning is the mishpat, the judgment and justice, is not something which is efsori. It can be taken or it can be left alone. It is something which is derech chiyuv behechrech. It is a principle, an axiom, that the Almighty placed into the very foundations of the creation. Justice is not something which is preferred. It is not something which is recommended. It is not something which people should feel that it would be good if we can have it. But it is something that must be. This is an axiomatic principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled into the very foundations of the world. Just like we have physical principles. Those principles have to be kept. If they don't, nature rebels. You have forces in the world which cannot be played with. It's a force of gravity. It's the forces that are there, the reality. There are spiritual principles that the Almighty also implanted into the world. And they have to be there. And they have to be catered to. And one of these principles is Din HaMishpat. This is why it states in the last Mishnah of the first Perek, Mesech Ta'avis, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Aimer. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Al Shlesha Dvorim Ha'elem Kaim. There's two girsas here, Ha'elem Kaim and Ha'elem Omed. But on three principles, the world stands. Al Hadin, on justice and judgment. Ve'ala emes, and truth. Ve'ala shalom, and peace. As it states, Shnemar emes u'mishpot shalom shiftu b'sha'areichem. So one of the principles that the world stands on, and this means this was imbued into the creation of the world, is mishpat, judgment. And this has to be. This is not something that we do by common agreement. Society gets together and they make an agreement between themselves that will allow you to keep this and will allow you to keep that. Not so. What belongs to Reuven, an acquisition of Reuven's is Reuven's. And acquisitions of Shimon is Shimon's. And if Reuven takes what belongs to Shimon, and this is not corrected, or if Reuven damages what belongs to Shimon's, or if Reuven goes into the tomb shall Shimon, if he walks into what belongs to Shimon, his property, infringes on his rights, then this is a kilkul ha-mishpat. This is a distortion of the principles of right and wrong which the Almighty imbued into the world. There were many societies where kings got up, where governments got up, where people got up and they thought they could do what they wanted. It's communism or socialism or whatever you want to call it. It's not so. This was not given over to the determination and agreements of people. But ownerships and rights, these are intrinsic in creation and in the human being. And this is the mishpat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to protect it. If it's protected, then the world thrives. Ashleishet Vorim Ha'olam Ha'emed. It's one of the pillars that holds up the world, Aladdin. If it's not protected, then this can bring a destructive force to the world. Therefore, kol dain shadon din emes. Every judge that executes a true and fair law in this area. Emes la'amitai is nasa shutev im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maisa bereshis. He becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation. And that's why it states there by he had a vayvoker, it was evening and night the first day, and by Mesha it states that he sat till from the morning till evening, even though it was not, it was only a short time during the day. In the entire creation, during the 7 days of creation, it constantly refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the name Elohim. Bereshis Bara Elohim. And in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And consistently, Vayomer Elohim, Hashem said, Yehi Rokia, let there be the firmament between the waters. Vayomer Elohim Yikovu Hamayim, Hashem said, let the waters gather together in one place. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many names. The name that's used is Elohim. Why that name? That's the name that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses when he exercises judgment. When he exercises din. The Gemara says, Elohim zu bezdin. When it refers many times to Elohim in the Torah, it's referring to the bezdin. Why? Because of this reason. When he created the world, so the pillar which he placed in the world was the pillar of justice and judgment. And therefore he used Elohim. And he himself created the world this way. Because he decided that this should be the domain of the sun. This should be the domain of the moon. This will be the domain of the stars. This will be the domain of the waters. Yikovu ha'mayim l'mokem echad. The waters should gather together. V'seiroya yabosho. The waters are not allowed to come onto the land. The land is not allowed to take away from the waters. Hakol nivre bedin. Everything he created with an exact judgment. And this went intrinsically into the creation. And therefore a dayan that executes a law in pure judgment becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, emes le'amitoi? It should say, called dayan shedon din emes. A judge that executes a true judgment. Emes la'amitoi means it's true, and even to his own truth. Tosfos in Masechta Baba Basra brings on Daf Ches din emes la'amitoi la'afu kedin maruma. Afal gav sho edim me'idim me'sei ein mechatchi me'sei kiven sheyedim she'meshakrim. This comes to exclude a case. What would happen if the judge, he receives the witnesses and he hears the claims, and according to the claims, according to the witnesses, so the law is with Reuben against Shimon, but he feels that these witnesses are lying. He has reason to believe that these witnesses are lying. According to the technicality of the law, he should say that the law favors Reuben. Right? And that he's not allowed to do so. It's not enough that the judgment is emes. It must be emes la'amitoi. It's not enough that it's true, technically. In our court systems of the Western world, we see that the courts have become, in many cases, especially in very liberal societies, the courts have become, in many cases, the greatest tool of the criminal. You get clever lawyers and expensive lawyers, and through technicalities, they can stall, not for months, for years. They can delay court action and stall court action. And through technicalities, it becomes their greatest protection. Actually, the mafia thrives on this. The mafia, there's no secret as to know who the mafia is. Governments of all of the Western worlds know exactly who the mafia are. The difficulty is how to convict them, because they use the court systems as their greatest protections. Now the Torah forbids us to do this. The judge sees that according to all the technicalities of the law, Reuven is right. But he in his own heart knows that the truth has not been brought out, then he has a right to refuse to judge the case. He leaves it rest. He will not judge in favor of Reuven. This is what it means, emes la'amitoi, that it must be true, and la'amitoi, where he feels himself that the truth is being brought out. Or a case that judge hears the claims and he has to judge according to the claims. Reuven's claim is stronger than Shimon. But he knows that Reuven is lying. He can see. Same thing then. He's not allowed to judge. He's not allowed to judge in favor of Reuven. So that's why it states here, Taisha says, Kol Dain Shadon, not Din Emes. You don't become a shooter for the HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you judge on a technicality. But Kol Dain Shadon Din Emes Lamitoi. If it's a judgment which is true and the ultimate of truth, then you become a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. In the same vein, the Medrash brings it's a Medrash in Dvorim Rabba Perkei. Omer Reb Shimon Gamliel, Al Ti Melagleg B'din. A person should not scoff or look lightly at the judgment. Shu Echod Mishleisha Raglia Ilum. Because this is one of the three pillars of the world. Like we said, there are three pillars that the world rests on: the Deen, the Emes, the Truth, and the Sholem, and the Peace. Tein daitecho shimatiso asadin shumizaze asailam shu echo miraglov. He says, if you distort the Deen, then you're going to shake the world. If there's kilkel hadin, distortion of judgment, the world will shake, it will tremble. Because if it's one of the legs that's holding up the world, then if you take that leg away, the world will start to tremble. Rabbanan Amri, Koshuhu Keche Shaldin. The Rabbanan say how difficult it is, how severe it is, the power of the Deen, Shu Echon Meragle Kisiakovit. This is one of the legs of the throne of the Almighty. The Ksiv Sedeku Mishpot Mochon Kisacho. Chesed V'emes Yigdumu Panecho. Righteousness and judgment is the foundation of your throne. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'il V'kach Ein Shel Shedin Koshe V'Zihirin Bay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, since the Deen is so severe and the distortion, destruction of the Deen, the punishment is so great, be very careful with it. In the Maral writes, even more than the other pillars, even if you take away the pillar of Chesed, the pillar of Torah, the other pillars that the world has, we don't find it says that the world will give a shake. Say, the world will tremble. Because the others are not as mukhrach, they are not as axiomatic as the Deen. The Deen has to be perfect. If you're a little to the right, a little to the left, it's already a distortion of justice. Justice must be perfect. Others have a greater leeway when it comes to tzedek tzedoko, right? When it comes to chesed. You do good, it's good. You do more good, it's better. Even when it comes to Torah. You study Torah, it's good. You study more Torah, it's better. When it comes to judgment, there's no such thing as you do a little, it's good, you do more, it's better. There's one judgment, it must be perfect. That's why Mishpat Elokim belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We mentioned on Shabbos, this is what why Meisha was afraid to give it away to other Dayonim. Because Meisha was called Ish Elokim. He understood the depth of the justice more than any other person. And he was afraid to delegate his authority to other people because it would be a degree or two off. So therefore it's more mukhrach, it's more exact. And therefore, if it's distorted, it shakes the world. One other medrash. Medrash also in the volume Rabba brings. Excuse me, this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Omer Aleph. V'omer Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni Omer Rabbi Yenison, Kol Dain Shenetel Momen Mizeh V'Nesin Lezeh Shalei Kedin. Every judge which takes money from one person and gives it to the other one, Shalei Kedin, not in accordance to the law, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him imena nafshei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and revenge this by taking his life. Shlomo HaMelech once said, it was either Shlomo HaMelech or David HaMelech, he said that other kings don't have to worry what I have to worry about. Other kings, if they do something wrong, no, it's not so bad. He says, if I distort the law, nefoshes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to revenge with lives. Now the question is, why? Why, if a judge takes money from one and gives to the other, which is not in accordance to the law, Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to take revenge with lives? The reason for that is if we go into the depth of the Mishpat, because the money that a person has, this is his life. Because from money, he has panoso. The Torah refers to money when it says that you shall help your fellow man out with money. It states, v'cheyochicho imach. Give your fellow brother life. You give money to a man, you're giving life to him. Because from money, he supports himself. Mora tells us, agezel pruta mino oni ki ilo gezel es nafshe. You take a pruta, you take a coin from a poor man, it's as if you take his life away from him. So when we go into the depth of the deen, if a judge takes money from a man, not in accordance to the law, and gives it to another person, that touches the very life of the person. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he comes to take revenge, he says, Nefoshes ani geiver. He comes to take revenge with lives. This is in regards to the practice and the execution of Din HaMishpat. What about the study of the laws? The Mishnah in Masechta Baba Basra, the last Mishnah in the Masechta, states, the three major Masechtas that deal with the laws, Din HaMomonos, these laws, is the first is Baba Kama, and the second is Baba Metzia, and the third is Baba Basra. The very last statement of the last Mishnah of Baba Basra states, "Va'omar Rabbi Shmuel." Rabbi Shmuel said, "Hareitze shiyachim." A person wants to become wise in Torah, yasik b'dinei momenes. Then he should study dinei momenes. He should study the laws pertaining to monetary matters, mizikin. Why? She'ein lecha mikseya b'teira godl mehen. Because there is no area in all of Torah which is as great as Dinei Momenos. V'hein kimayon haneveya. And they are like an ever-flowing spring. So here the Tanoim are telling us, you want to become wise, you must study Torah. You want to become the wisest, then you must study Dinei Momenos. See, and this Mishnah is right after the conclusion of the three major Masechtas of the Talmud which deal with Momenos. He says you should study Dinei Momenos. Why? She'ein lecha mikseya b'teira godl mehen. Because there is no area in all of Torah, he says, that's as great or as deep as this area, and they're like an ever-flowing spring. Then he finishes by saying, Shimon ben Anas. Shimon ben Anas was a Tana who was very great in Dinei Momenos. So he says, someone wants to learn these halachos, he should learn by Shimon ben Anas. Now the simple meaning is according to what we said, because Mishpat belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. True justice is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for a person to come to it, he has to uplift himself. It's like going to the Mizbeach, heavy Mesunim Medin, slowly. And the place of the Sanhedrin was where the Beis HaMikdash was. If the Mishpat belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he imbued this right in the creation of the world, so then all of the Torah, all of the Teiras HaMishpat, all of the Torah that has to do with the Mishpatim, it's Ein L'dover Seif, there's no end to it. And therefore the greatest Chochmas, the greatest wisdoms, is in Dinei Mamonos. And from here we see another thing. We mentioned this on Shabbos. People ask, what do I get out of studying? I understand if I should study philosophy. See, I will study philosophy. We'll study about the solar systems. We'll study astrologies. We'll study the great mysteries of the universe. Or we'll study the great mysteries of the Torah. Good, but what do we get out of studying Arba Avos Nezikin? We learn about the shor and the bor. We learn about thieves. We learn about murderers. We learn about people that damage each other. About litigations. What's that got to do with Torah? What's that got to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not like that. Because you're learning the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're learning the right and wrong of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the greatest level that a person can come to is the level of tzaddik. To know what's right and what's wrong. To know what's yosher, what's straight and what's crooked. We live in a world that does not know what's straight and what's crooked. A Jew has to know. Not only does he have to know, it has to be imbued in him. It has to become part of him. And how does it become part of him, of what's right and what's wrong, what's straight and what's crooked? By elevating himself to what's right in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. Last is HaYosher B'nei Elakim. To do what's right in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. How do you know what's right in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes? By going into the depths of his Mishpat. And that's why we don't find. It doesn't say that a child that you take and you start teaching him Yiddishkeit, doesn't say you should teach him. You should teach him philosophy. Right? Doesn't say you should teach him astronomy, or the solar systems, or the mysteries. It says you teach him Chumash. And in Chumash you have everything. You have all of the Mishpatim. Then you teach him Mishnah. Then you teach him Gemara. And this is what the Torah said, what Meisha said. When Yisro came and he asked Meisha, what are you doing? So he said, Ki yove elai ha'om lidrish elakim. The nation comes to me to seek Hashem. You would think if they were coming to seek Hashem, they were asking Meisha questions about the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They come to seek Hashem. How did they come to seek Hashem? When they have a dispute between each other, they have a litigation. Reuven says it's mine and Shimon says it's mine. They come to me, and I tell them what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's law is. And Rashi says, what does it mean they come to seek Hashem? So Rashi brings from the Targum, Lishol Talmud Mipi Agvura. They come to find out the law from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's seeking Hashem. To know what's right and what's wrong. That's Lidrei Shelekim. That's seeking Hashem, that's coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that to say firstly that Mishpatim is something which is relevant to judges and it's relevant to business people, but other Jews it's not relevant to, this is not so. This is something that every Jew has to be imbued with, every Jew has to grow in, and every Jew has to study. To say that this is something which is merely necessary for society, otherwise the wheels of society will not turn smoothly. But the great Chelkei HaTorah, the great portions of Torah, are in other areas. It's a total lie. Totally false. Not only is lama nismecho parshas hamizbeach le parshas hamishpotim. Not only mishpotim was given to get right after the place of the mizbeach, but the Mishnah tells us ein lachom akseya godol mizeh. There is not an area in Torah which is greater. And this is an area, unfortunately, which is neglected. People who want to be good Jews, unfortunately, neglect this area. They feel you can be good Jews by keeping Shabbos and putting on tefillin and davening and keeping kashrus, which you have to keep. To be a good Jew, you must do this. But at the same time, they neglect the whole area of mishpat. And this comes from ignorance. This comes from ignorance. Because anyone who studies Torah, he doesn't see anywhere in the Torah where those mitzvahs should take priority over these mitzvahs. Where those mitzvahs should be first place, and these should be second place. Not only that, usually we don't like to make a dichotomy. There's no two Torahs, there's one Torah. There's Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs, and we don't divide them. If you were to divide them, you might even find just the converse. For example, the Rambam brings in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Geneva, end of Perek Zayin, the Rambam writes, Kosher Einshon Shel Midas. When it comes there, here he's speaking about a mitzvah that we have. It has to do with Mishpatim, but it's not mentioned in this parsha. That one must have honest weights and scales. If a person has dishonest weights and scales, the Torah looks at this as a tremendous avera. So the Rambam brings, Kosher Einshon Shel Midas. If a person has false weights and scales, this is a greater avera, yesemi ancient shel arois. This is a greater avera than arois. What is arois? Arois is adultery and incest. A person who deals in false weights and scales, his punishment is greater than if he's a person who's involved in adultery or incest. Because when it comes to arois, adultery and incest, he says this has to do between him and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But when it comes to weights and scales, this has to do bein odom lechaveri, between man and his fellow man. V'chol ha-kefer b'mitzvahs midas ke-kefer b'yitzias mitzrayim shi'tchilas ha-tzivoy. And whoever does not pay heed, he says, no, there's nothing wrong. What's wrong with your weights are a little off and your scales are a little off, so you make a little extra money. So what? Someone who does that, he says, he denies the yitzias mitzrayim. The yitzias mitzrayim is the cornerstone of our entire emuna, tchilas hatzivoy, the cornerstone of entire emuna. And a person who is not careful with his weights and scales, he denies it. So he's denying the yitzias mitzrayim. V'chol ha-mekabel olav mitzvahs midas, and someone who accepts wholeheartedly this mitzvah, harezu meida b'yitzias mitzrayim shigrom alachol hatzivoy. Then it's as if he accepts the yitzias mitzrayim, the exodus, which is the cornerstone of all of our mitzvahs. This is just one example. Another example the Gemara brings in Baba Kama. The Gemara says, "Areitzel me'avi chosid." If a person wants to be a chosid is a very, very righteous person. Gemara brings many times, "Ahu chosid," a story of a righteous person. Gemara says, "How should a person be a chosid?" So the Gemara brings a few opinions. One opinion is he should be zayir b'mili d'nezikin. He wants to be a chosid, he wants to be righteous, then he has to be careful in the zikin that he should not in any way cause injury to other people or their property. He should not leave broken glass around.
He should not leave rubbish around. If he drops something, he should not throw litter in the street, because first of all, he's damaging other property. Secondly, someone can fall in it. If he has an animal, it has to be safeguarded. If he's taking care of something, he comes into a shul, he has to be careful. It's public property. He comes into yeshiva, he has to be very careful. If he uses something that's not his, if he uses another person's talis, he has to be careful to fold it up and put it exactly back where it was. All of this is din nezikin. This is din nezikin, din shemrim. If he's entrusted with someone's money. We have here in the yeshiva, the bochrim, close up at night. This is all dine shemrim, parsha shemrim. He wants to be a chosid, the Gemara says. This is how to be a chosid. And the Bishrael Salanter, amongst the Jews that were great in Torah, that were truly great in Torah, you found it went hand in hand. This dichotomy where you find that people are frum in some areas of the Torah, but when it comes to other areas, they totally neglect it. This was only in areas of great amaratzis, of great ignorance. When you came to areas, or you came to individuals that were great in Torah, you saw hand in hand it went. And the Bishrael Salanter was from the Gedali Ador. He was from the leaders of the generation. What did he instruct his Talmidim? One thing he instructed his Talmidim, that if you wake someone up, if you make noise, when someone's sleeping, he says, you don't know what kind of Avera that is. Godel means Seya. He says, it's an Avera you might not be able to do tshuva for. Because you're a thief. You're a thief, you're stealing sleep from him. And not only you're a thief, but it's Yefshe B'chazorah. We don't have time to go into it, but the Gemara brings that the greatest theft is a theft that cannot be returned. And many times you can never return that to the person. If you inconvenience a person, you're stealing, you're a thief because you're stealing his time from him. This is what he used to instruct his Talmidim. When he came to do a mitzvah, Rabbi Yisrael himself was very lenient on mitzvahs where they placed impositions on other people. They one time they saw that he was washing his hands. It's a mitzvah when you wash your hands to use a lot of water. One time they saw he was using the most minimal amount of water that's allowed. They asked him why. He says, why should I use more? They said, it's a hidur. It's better to use more. See, he told his Talmidim, he said, the first principle in righteousness, if you want to be a tzaddik, he says, on your own cheshbon, you'll be a tzaddik on your cheshbon, not on someone else's. He says, this water that you're using is not yours. It belongs to someone else. And there's a woman that has to come and draw the water. He says, you want to do mitzvahs better on her back? He says, that's not a tzaddik, that's a rosho. That's a wicked person. Once they bring the story, when they asked him, they were preparing water for the matzahs. They were using water from the matzahs, and it's a mitzvah to use a lot of water. And they asked him, what should we be careful for when we make the matzahs? There are so many things you have to be careful for when you make matzahs for Pesach. There are so many things. So they said, what should we be most careful of? He says, be most careful of not to waste any water. Don't waste any water and use just what you have to. They said, what does that have to do with chometz? He says, it doesn't have to do with chometz. It has to do with something that's more important than chometz. He told them. Why? Because there's a poor woman that has to go all the way to the well and all the way to back, and she's been doing that half the night drawing water. He says, that's more important than chometz. This is what he used to instruct his Talmidim. And the Chofetz Chaim, Zichreinu Levarocha. What did they say on the Chofetz Chaim? Chofetz Chaim once came to the post office. He was beloved by all of the goyim. He was such a righteous person. He once came to the post office to send off his sforim. He would print sforim and he would send them off. So he came to the post office. So the postal general there, the head clerk, he saw the the great rabbi, the Chofetz Chaim, so he instructed, he said, don't charge him postage. Such a holy man with holy books. He says, we won't charge you postage. What did the Chofetz Chaim do? He says, what right do you have not to charge me postage? Do you own the post office? The post office is owned by the government. He says, if the government would allow me to send him free, all right. But you have no right to do this. And he paid the postage. And a Jew once told me that lived in Radin. He was a chemist in Radin. He told me, old Jew, he's not living anymore. He lived there during the time of the Chofetz Chaim. He told me, he said, that a Jew could not take advantage of a goy in any type of business deal in Radin. Why? Because the minute the goy would feel that something is wrong here, he would say, all right, we'll go to the Chofetz Chaim. The goy would demand a din teru with the Chofetz Chaim. The minute the Jew heard that, he put everything in order immediately. Because he knew the mapola he would get from the Chofetz Chaim if the goy would bring him. This is the type of righteousness that the Chofetz Chaim was from the Gedalia Ador. And when the Chofetz Chaim died, the goyim said, he'll be buried here. We don't want him to leave. He lived here, he'll be buried here. And these are endless stories of those that were great in Torah. Unfortunately, as mentioned, this area has become neglected. It's become neglected for the simple reason because a lot of our Torah today is shallow. A lot of our Judaism is shallow. Superficial. How can anyone understand the Mishpat if the Mishpat is the deepest area of all of Torah? And how much Torah do we learn? These Jews that we were speaking about, these are Jews that learned not a few years. 50, 60, 70, 80 years they spent learning. They didn't learn a piece of Gemara once or twice. 1,000 times they learned a piece of Gemara. It became part of them. I would just like to conclude. We mentioned this a while back on Shabbos also, with a tshuva from the late Ramesha Feinstein, from the great leaders of our generation, who all his life spent studying Torah and also had the same approach. They asked him a question that in America there are many public grants that are available to educational institutions from the government. And the question was posed to him. The yeshivas qualified for many of these grants. And there were even certain government representatives that were close, evidently, to these yeshivas. And they told them, listen, if you drum up the figures a bit, if you pad the figures a bit, you can get more money. You don't have to answer all of the questions exactly right. So if they asked you how many students you have, if you have 100, so put down 125. So, or if they asked you, do you give these subjects, and even though you don't put it down, look, he says, what? The United States government, United States Treasury, a few dollars is not going to make that much difference to them. And it's for Torah. And there were even government representatives that were close to these yeshivas. I suppose they wanted the vote. And they were willing to help him on this. So they asked the question to the Moshe Feinstein on this. We don't have time to go through the entire tshuva, but he says there's not a heter in the world. There's no way in the world you could permit such a thing. He nei dover zeh osur. This is forbidden. Midina de malchuse. First of all, it's forbidden because it's going against the laws of the land. But also midin teira. It's forbidden from the Torah also. He says it's iser gezel. It's theft. It's scoring. A Jew is not allowed to tell a lie. Here he has to sign a paper that this is the truth, and it's lies. He says it's genevus das, it's misrepresentation. This is also min haTorah. He says it's chilul Hashem. You disgraced in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that yeshivas and people that study Torah should even be associated with such a thing. It's bizein haTorah. Not only is it chilul Hashem where you're disgracing Hashem's name, but you're disgracing the Torah v'lomdeho. You're disgracing Torah and those that study it. Ve'ein b'zeh shum hayros hetu ve'elom. He says, you heard hetedim from other people. He says, I can tell you there's not a heter, there's not a dispensation, there's not a justification for this in the whole world. This is what Elisha writes, there's not a justification in the whole world for such a thing. Sha'akorish baruch hu say negezel ba'ela. The Gemara says that you cannot, for example, steal flour and make matzah from it. Or steal an animal and bring a sacrifice with it. Why? It's a mitzvah boba aveda HaKadosh Baruch Hu say negezel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates theft. So are you going to present HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a mitzvah that's theft? He says he'll throw it right back at you. So he says, how could you even think to present HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Torah that's built on theft and misrepresentation and fraud and everything else and breaking the laws of the Torah and the laws of the land? He says, do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu would accept such a Torah? And then he writes, he says, not only that, he says, v'hu keneged kol, now this is what he writes because the Ramesha was a Baal Torah. He says, v'hu keneged kol tachlis yuseid ha-yeshivas ba'alimut shum. He says, not only this, but it's contrary to everything that yeshivas and Torah stand for. Shehalimut shum le'atalmidim li'yish yiri Hashem be'emes li'zoya bi'isurim amin mi'yeser. He says, the whole purpose of you, what is the purpose of yeshivas? The purpose of the yeshivas is to instill Torah in the students. He says, one of the major aspects of Torah is to treat a person how to deal honestly and uprightly when it comes to mamonos, when it comes to money matters. So if the whole purpose of yeshivas is to instill Torah in the disciples, and I'm major facet of Torah is that they should be very, very careful in monetary dealings. He says something like this to support yeshivas through fraud. He says this is contrary to the whole purpose of yeshivas. And therefore he says there's nothing to talk about. With all of these self-justifications that the yeshiva needs it and the yeshiva can't exist without it or whatever it'll be, he says there's absolutely nothing to talk about. These were the ways of these Torah giants. It was impossible to build Torah together with misrepresentations or with lies or with deceit or with fraud or with theft or whatever it might be. Unfortunately, we don't see that today all of the time. And that's because, like the Maral writes, he says, why don't we find Yiras Hashem? Why don't we find true fear of Hashem? Because we don't find true Torah. In the days of old, people gave themselves to Torah and to the Chochmas HaTorah, and they gave their life for it, day and night, learning over Gemaras dozens and dozens of times or hundreds of times. Until the Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu became part of it. They knew intuitively. They knew what was right and what was wrong. But he says, today, we don't do this. So how are we supposed to know what's right or wrong? That's what the Mishnah says, Areitze Yachkim, you want to become wise in the wisdom of Hashem, Yasek Bedine Momeres. Shein Lecho Mikzea Godel Mizeh. So these are a few aspects of what does it mean, ve'ele ha-mishpotim, these are the mishpotim, asher tosim lifneihem, that the nation was commanded to give to the people. And this is the area, this is the place in Torah, in a Jew's life, that mishpotim take part of. We should all be zeicher to learn the Mishpatim and the great depth, and from there learn the great justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and enable it to become part of our lives.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.